Neurejena videa je posodo prala.
Zraven nekaj krožnikov razbila.
Za volanom je zaspala.
Saj službo zgubila.
Šifte je nagnal.
Ker nosečniški trebuh je zaznal.
Da je mera polna.
Od domače tepeške je že bolna.
Sama si je trapa kriva.
Če tudi posilevalcu zanimiva.
Sektor Ž. Oddaja o nesposobnih ženskah. To soboto opoldne.
Drage feministke in feministi, dobrodošli v oddaji Sektor Ž. V današnji oddaji vam ponovno pripravljamo aktualne debate o družbenih situacijah, ki pogojujejo življenje žensk. Teja Oblak se je pogovarjala s kolektivom vstajniških socialnih delavk o nastajanju in izzivih ob delu na koledarju za feministično leto 158, ki so ga 8. marca 2014 predstavile na Rdečih zorah. Koledar je udarna akcija, tokrat ne v javnem prostoru, temveč v tekstu in avtorski fotografiji. Z njim so vsebinsko radikalizirale koledar kot tiskovno obliko in s tem pravzaprav ustanovile lasten žanr. Teja Hvala pa se je pogovarjala z Irino Ilisej iz romunske feministične skupine Asocieta Front o tem, zakaj romske ženske tako težko dosežejo visokošolsko izobrazbo. O težavah pri uresničevanju novega zakona o preprečevanju nasilja v družini. O boju proti vključitvi posilstva v predlog zakona o medijaciji in o neutralnosti feminističnih zahtev na množičnih protivladnih protestih, ki v Bukarešti potekajo že od leta 2012. V eter pa vam bom prišepetovala Ida H. Kolektiv vstajniške socialne delavke so torej 8. marca 2014 predstavile svoj koledar za feministično leto 158. Predstavile so ga z dih jemajočim performansom v infošopu na Metelkovi v sklopu 15. mednarodnega feminističnega in queer festivala Rdeče zore. Vstajniške socialne delavke so sicer skupina vstajnic, ki delujejo po principih feminizma in radikalnega socialnega dela. Kot Teja Oblak ugotavlja, so koledar vsebinsko tako preizpraševale in radikalizirale, da so ustanovile lasten žanr. O nastajanju in izzivih ob delu na koledarju se je z vstajniškimi socialnimi delavkami pogovarjala Teja O. Najprej pa nas je zanimala, kako to, da so za svojo prvo daljšo tiskano produkcijo izbrale koledar.
V bistvu začetki tega koledarja segajo že skoraj slabi dve leti nazaj, ko smo vse skupaj delale, bile zaposlene na, bodi si tako ali drugače na eni organizaciji na področju duševnega zdravja. Finančna situacija te organizacije je bila zelo slaba in takrat smo malo tudi ko maštale, kako bi lahko prišla do denarja, pa krati, da bi se še zraven mogoče tudi malo sprostile pa zabavale in že takrat smo razmišljali o koledarju, ne o feminističnem, ampak čistko tematskem, vezanim na socialo. No in potem ta ideja je nekak hodila z nami, včasih je bila bolj prisotna, včasih manj, pa lani v jeseni smo pa začele spet nekaj tako, da bi pa imeli okrog novega leta koledar. Vendar 12 fotografij na 12 tem ni tako enostavno narediti, še sploh, ker nismo velik kolektiv. Smo potem ugotovile, da do novega leta nam to nekako ne bo uspelo in hkrati s tem, ker smo ugotovile, da nam to ne bo uspelo, je vzniknila naslednja meni odlična ideja, da pač izdamo koledar z 8. marcem in tako beležimo tudi začetek novega leta, to se pravi novega feminističnega leta.
Ja, jaz sem hotela še to dodati, da mogoče koledar kot forma se nam je zdel v redu, zato ker združuje in sliko in besedo in jaz ful čutim, da imamo kot skupina ogromno idej in ogromno stvari zapovedati in je bilo na tak način najlažje tako naresti en velik boom in zlit vse, pač vse teme, na katere se čutimo, da pač imamo kaj za zakričati ali pa za fotkat, povedati.
V koledarju se besedilo za vsak mesec bere kot lasten feministični manifest. Katere vsebine so obravnavale vstajniške socialne delavke v teh mesečnih manifestih?
Pomemben del tega snovanja koledarja je bil vsaj zame osebno osvobajanje, se pravi pač preopraševanje nekih notranjih mej, hkrati pa tudi pač iskanje tistih družbenih mej, ki lahko pač dregnemo kot ženske iz pozicije pač ženske, ampak da nekako transgresiramo to pozicijo pač bodi si z, ne vem, aktivno držo, z neprijetno pozicijo, z uporabo pač simbolov, ne vem, kakor so vložki, tamponi, ki niso označeni kot nekaj prijetnega ali pa nekaj, kar bi imelo moč, mi pa pač temu dajemo moč, tako da na tak način. Teme so pa pač zelo različne od predstavitve žensk v medijih oziroma reprezentacije do zažiganja čarovnic, do recimo vprašanja migracij, neplačano gospodinsko delo, histerija oziroma pač ta psihiatrizacija ženskega telesa, kaj še, mogoče proti fašizmu, proti političnim zapornicam, tudi proti cerkvi, ta je mogoče ena najbolj takih radikalnih.
Pomemben vidik koledarja vstajniških socialnih delavk je tudi vizualni in sicer gre za avtorske fotografije za vsak mesec v koledarju, ki dopolnjujejo tekst ali pa so tudi samo svoja zgodba. Zanimala nas je kakšna zgodba oziroma izkušnja pri nastajanju teh fotografij.
Fotografije so nastale kot ful spontano, vsaka si je izbrala neko temo, na katero je hotela narediti fotografijo in polja zraven tudi napisala tekst. Mislim, tako izkušnje samega fotografiranja je bilo ful zabavno. Tako, nekaj smo tudi skupaj naredile, se dobile, se stavile in tako, nekaj pa tudi same, naprimer, pri eni fotografiji, ki je bila posneta po noči, v parku v Murski Soboti, je prav pristopila policija in se začeli nekaj težiti, da se kaj počnemo in tako, in nam niso dovolili, da se fotografiramo.
Katera fotografija je to, točno? Kater mesec? In zakaj ravno ta mesec?
To je mesec december. Fotografija je v bistvu ženska, ki je obešena na tanku. In je zraven je tekst, pač ne bomo žrtve vaših vojn.
Vstajniške socialne delavke so v koledarju ustanovile novo lastno štetje let. Tako je leto 2014 po Kristusu postalo leto 158 po feminističnem štetju. Zanimalo nas je, kaj se je zgodilo leta, ko se prične novo štetje.
Zaradi tega, ker takrat se začne 8. marec, saj kolikor smo me zasledili, no prvič pojavljati, takrat so se ženske prvič, to se pravi leta 1857 v Ameriki v tekstilnih tovarnah prvič uprle in zahtevale boljše delovne pogoje in boljše plačilo za svoje opravljeno delo. In potem je ta 8. marec ponovno čez eno leto, ker so ponovno bili upori in tako naprej, dokler ni pač tudi Rosa Luxemburg razglasila ta praznik kot praznik žensk oziroma kar še danes proslavljamo in ja, s tem začenjamo me feministično leto. Hkrati v želji, da bi vsi živeli vsa leta na ta način, oziroma da bi bil feminizem nekaj, kar bi nas skozi spremljalo. Hkrati seveda, ker je zelo čudna ta ideja štetja po Kristusu, leta 2014, se pravi, ko se je Kristus rodil, zame osebno, kdo to sploh je, kaj to sploh je, je zelo absurdno in je to štetje za mene osebno absolutno bolj primerno, kot pa to vse splošno sprejeto.
Kadar so vstajniške socialne delavke že pred izdajo, koledar so vstajniške socialne delavke že pred izdajo napovedale z besedami hočemo svoj del zgodovine. Mnogo dni v koledarskem letu 158 namreč zaznamuje pomembno rojstvo ali smrt uporne ženske ali drugi dogodki. Po drugem ključu in katerem ključu so izbrale omenjene uporniške ženske in dogodke?
Trudile smo se, da bi probale prikazati čim širšo paleto žensk, se pravi ne samo ženske, ki bi se ukvarjale prav s feminizmom, ampak ženske, ki so na kakršen koli način izstopale iz teh pripisanih vlog, se pravi niso bile pasivne, so se borile mogoče za osvoboditev lastne zemlje, recimo imamo pač par staroselk iz Latinske Amerike ali pa pač ženske, recimo, ki so se uprle. Ne vem, ena Grkinja, Stamata Reviti, ki preteče maraton zato, ker želi doseči, da bi pač ženske vključili v olimpijske igre, ki jim prej ni bilo dovoljeno in potem to tudi doseže. Pač, ali pa recimo Mileva Marić, ki je znana samo kot žena Alberta Einsteina, v resnici je pa pač naredila večino tega dela, ki ga njemu pripisujemo. Se pravi, smo hotele pač pokazati na ful široko paleto od pomembnih datumov, žensk, dogodkov, vezanih na feminizem, do žensk, ki so prestopale meje spolnih vlog. Hkrati pa tudi nekako pokloniti vsem žrtvam totalitarnih sistemov, eden od teh je tudi patriarhat, recimo pač zažganih čarovnic, zažgane čarovnice, potem ženske, ki so bile umorjene, kot na primer Kitty Genovese ali pa Lucrecia Perez, ki je bila žrtva rasističnega nasilja, tako ful.
Za konec pa prisluhnimo manifestu za mesec december v feminističnem letu 158 po štetju vstajniških socialnih delavk.
Ne bomo žrtve vaših vojn. Vojaško nasilje vedno opustoši skupnosti. Multinacionalne korporacije grabijo po naši zemlji, ki si jo prilaščajo, kradejo pridelke in jih označujejo z nalepkami finančnih institucij. Naša telesa za njih ovira na poti zaslužka, izgnana, raztreščena po begunskih taboriščih in azilnih domovih. Razbite družine iščoče izgubljeni spanec med rasističnim nasiljem. Vaše vojne, naše mrtve. Umetno ustvarjeni nacionalizmi, da se lažje igrate z našimi življenji. Sistematično posiljevanje, mučenje, izživljanje, da vojaki lažje vzdržijo pritisk. Me, brezimne, polne brazgotin. Namesto natikanja uniform v imenu enakosti, branimo svojo zemljo, družine in skupnosti.
To je bil prispevek o novem sijajnem koledarju za leto 158 po feminističnem štetju, ki so ga ustanovile in zradikalizirale vstajniške socialne delavke. Tako kot na primer Skam manifest Valerie Solanas bi morala vsaka feministka imeti doma tudi koledar vstajniških socialnih delavk. Koledar lahko dobite in zanj prispevate tako, da pišete zasebno sporočilo na Facebook profilu vstajniških socialnih delavk. Na njihovem profilu pa lahko najdete tudi video z performansa in predstavitve koledarja v Infoshopu 8. marca letos, ob tem pa sledite napovedim o njihovem nadaljnem delovanju, o performansih in akcijah. Intervju je pripravila Teja O, sledi pa koledar Sister George, komad Sister George Handlebar.
Dang.
Feminizem v Romuniji. Intervju s politologinjo in aktivistko Irino Ilisej, ki ga je pripravila Teja Hvala. Irina Ilisej je soustanoviteljica romunske feministične skupine Asociatei Front. V intervjuju za Sektor Ž je predstavila najbolj pereče težave, s katerimi se soočajo ženske v Romuniji, še posebej romske ženske, ki so zaradi svoje etnične pripadnosti, socialnega statusa in spola trojno diskriminirane. Irina Ilisej na Nacionalni šoli za politične in administrativne študije v Bukarešti pravkar končuje doktorat, posvečen družbeni mobilnosti Romk. Ker zadnja 4 leta raziskuje formalne in neformalne ovire, s katerimi se spopadajo romske ženske, ki se želijo izobraževati na visokošolski ravni, sva pogovor začeli z vprašanjem, kaj je ugotovila v teku svoje raziskave.
Thank you very much, first of all, for inviting me for talking on these topics. So I'm interested in what makes Roma and Roma women to access higher education. What factors are supporting Roma women to go to university, and what factors are infringing their rights and accessibility to institution, because there are a lot of stereotypes in among the Romanian society and in European society as well, who say, for example, that it is in the Roma, Roma do not go to school because there are this tradition, or it's not in the Roma gender roles for women to go to universities, or Roma are only poor and this is the main reason why they don't get higher education. But I want to look a little bit deeper into this topic, and I found very interesting results, like, for example, that there are many other factors that are influencing much more the accessibility of Roma and Roma women to higher education, not only money or tradition, or not at all this. These are not at all. There are more the factors that Roma women are not so much encouraged also by the majority society to go to higher education, the teacher apply them a different treatment, and they do not support them, and they do not give them confidence that they can make it into higher education. Also, it is much more difficult for Roma women to get access to information on how to apply to higher universities. And these are for some examples that have nothing to do with or not so much to do with tradition or income, and these are just some examples what I found from my with the work on my thesis.
But you say that poverty is not the main issue, but you probably also know, like, what is the social or economic situation like of Roma women compared to Romanian women, let's say.
Yes, indeed, Roma women are, it is the most disadvantaged social group, or compared to any other social group, and also compared to non-Roma ethnics from living in Romania. Many women who already made it into this level of education, of having 12 years of schooling, already found some financial resources to support them in education. I do not want to say with what I stated that Roma women do not have very big financial difficulties, and that money is not one of the reasons that they do not go to university. But I want to say that money is not the only reason. And also in some cases, you need also a strong social network and social support in order to find the finances, or to direct the money in the direction of education, and to see both from the side of majority society, but also from the side of Roma society that there is the need for education and money have to be directed in order to support Roma women to go to university. There is also a very huge variety on how Roma communities are. There are also communities which are strongly segregated or living in ghettos in Romania, but there are also Roma living in semi-segregated or together with non-Roma. There is a huge variety when we speak about Roma, mm-hmm. and also the Roma who are in middle class, having a higher university degree, but this Roma, maybe because of the discrimination inside of the society, they are not so much visible and they are not perceived as the Roma. This is one of the main reasons why Roma are still perceived as the ones who want to keep themselves separated from the majority society, which is completely untrue.
Ena od prvih potez Asociacije Front je bila ustanovitev spletnega portala Feminism Romania, kjer aktivistke objavljajo novice o lastni dejavnosti in zakonskih predlogih, ki zadevajo status manjšin, ob tem pa redno opozarjajo na seksizem in rasizem v javnem prostoru. Na strani so pred 4 leti objavile tudi svoj ustanovni manifest, o katerem je Irina Elisej spregovorila v nadaljevanju. Pa poslušajmo, ob katere strukturne ovire se spotikajo ženske v Romuniji. Presojo o tem, ali so specifične za Romunijo ali ne, prepuščamo kar vam, poslušalkam in poslušalcem Sektorja Ž.
We saw there are some huge inequalities concerning the women in Romania, and that these inequalities are not seen and they stay invisible in the society. And there are many examples in these terms, like there are big economic gaps between women and men in the Romanian society. Also, women are exposed to violence, and in case of domestic violence, 90% of the victims are women. Also, women are, as in all, I would say in most of the parts of the world as well, but in Romania too, they are the main caregivers for children and elder people, and therefore they have a double work day. During the communism, all the women were needed to have a job, but the communists could not eradicate this gender roles, that women were also caregivers and housekeepers and so on. So in most of the Romanian households, women are the ones who are doing the most of the work, and due to that, also the work is affected, because women face much more discrimination in getting a job, because any employer would assume, well, the woman is getting pregnant and probably she will stay home for 2 years, so a woman would not get a chance to have a better paid job, and she would need to make a lot of compromises in order of receiving a job. So another consequence is that there are not so many women in power positions. Power, either economic or political, it's not equally distributed between men and women. The Romanian parliament has about 10% of women members, which is totally unbalanced, and then the interests of the women are not represented. And there is, you can see a whole circle, because then there are no women to do things for women, so the situation is maintained. And what we wanted to do with Front Association is to try to do some changes, and first to make people aware of about these inequalities, and then to fight against them, either with different types of tools, like from one side street protests, from other side we done lots of lobby work and advocacy or dog watch, and on other side of the type of the work that I'm doing through non-formal education. So there are lots of tools that can be used on one side, but on the other side, to give more context in about the environment that we're working in, the civil society and the feminist work is far away from being supported from the state or from any institution. So doing volunteer-based work, then it does not give so much resources in order to do all the changes that we would like to have in the society. But we do with what we have, so
Well, judging from your website, you do a lot. Like, for example, I saw that last year, in June 2013, you were one of the many groups who signed the petition against the Romanian president, Traian Băsescu, because he said that the Romanian state would prefer to see a rise in rates of children born to economically successful women and not to poor women, where he especially mentioned Roma women as the undesirable mothers, so to speak. And I was wondering if the petition was successful in the sense that it put some pressure or maybe even some sanctions against the president.
Well, the Traian Băsescu, the Romanian nowadays president, has a long experience in being discriminatory, and especially against Roma women. Also, some years ago, for example, he addressed to a journalist, calling her a stinky gypsy, like a terrible insult. And that time he was sanctioned. This time, when he addressed in a public meeting with business women and telling them that they should embrace motherhood and do many children as Roma women are doing, for this affirmation, he did not get any sanction. So we had a council and for discrimination, and they decided that it is it was not discriminatory, and what he said, it is okay in terms of free speech, and that Traian Băsescu, as any citizen in the country, so he was not seen as a president, but he was seen as any citizen in the country, he is allowed to tell his opinion. So, of course, I find the decision totally inappropriate, but that is what happened.
And the National Council for Combating Discrimination, this is like a state agency, or is it independent?
No, it is a state aid institution.
Okay, that explains a bit the decision, maybe.
It can be properly interpreted.
but I saw you participated in some, I would say, very like powerful or successful actions. I know there was a long struggle to improve the law about domestic violence, and that it was improved in March 2 years ago, 2012. I could not really find information about what are the main improvements of this law. Can you maybe explain a little bit?
Well, after 2012, there came a law for protection of the victim, and also that it can be implemented an order of protection and an order of restriction. if this application would be approved, then in theory the aggressor is kicked out of the house, even if he is the owner of the house, and this would be for 6 months. And will give time for the victim, for example, to apply for a divorce or to find another place where to stay. And the restriction order means that also the victim would be protected and the aggressor would not be allowed to approach her on the distance of 200 meters. And as you said, in March 2012, it was implemented this laws. Some months ago, there was also made a study on how these laws were put into practice. And on one side, we were happy that we have these laws, but on the other side, we are really depressed that these laws are not really functioning well in practice. There were cases which are, they look like funny, but they are like decision of the police or the judges, where the aggressor was given, for example, if they were living in a two rooms apartment, the aggressor was told by the police and by the judges that he should use only the living room and she should use the bedroom or differently, which is totally not coherent with separating the victim with the aggressor. And in practice also still police institution and judge institution, they are not really aware on how to implement this these laws. Also the laws are not, they're taking a lot of time in order to, this restriction order to take place.
But I was wondering about implementation of the law. Also, because I read on your website that you were protesting against sexual harassment by the police.
It was meant in the sense that police is not a support institution to which a woman can address for sexual in cases of sexual harassment. And maybe there is the mentality of the police as an institution changes too slowly. And for example, till around 20 years ago, if it was a fight in the house, the police would not intervene at all and would not be allowed at all. And it was considered a private space. So if a husband would kill his wife, then only the police will intervene. But if they would get calls from the neighbors that something is not all right there, they would not intervene at all. Also, police discourage a lot women to address concerns or to write complaints in case of sexual harassment. So this was one of the issues that Front Association was also wanted to deal with.
O segregaciji v romunskem izobraževalnem sistemu veliko pove podatek, da v posebnih šolah kar polovico otrok predstavljajo romski učenci, čeprav je le desetina celotnega prebivalstva romskega. Da bi ublažila prisilno izolacijo romskih otrok in najstnikov od svojih neromskih vrstnikov, je skupina Front v 4 letih, odkar obstaja, organizirala vrsto mednarodnih mladinskih srečanj. V Bukarešti počne še marsikaj drugega, čeprav trenutno šteje le 10 članic, še te pa se pogosto menjajo, saj skupina po sili razmer deluje prostovoljno. V nadaljevanju sem Irino Elisej vprašala, kako besedo feminizem v Romuniji razume širša javnost in kako se do feministične politike opredeljujejo druge emancipatorne iniciative oziroma levica.
For the Romanian public in average, there are not so much, people are not so much used to hear people who say, well, I'm a feminist and I work for gender equality. Well, I will give you like anecdotal example that it did not happen to me only once. Then, for example, when I was introduced at a party to someone, oh, look, she's Irina, she's a feminist. And then there was that awkward moment when the people were looking at me, oh, and what do you think about men? And they were expecting me to say, oh, I hate men and I want to take all the power and so on. And of course it is not like this to be a feminist, but I think also the situation improved in terms of making partnerships and understanding of what feminism is in the civil society. There are more and more people who are embracing feminism or they are working with feminist association. And another perspective is at the political level, for example, there is almost no politician, or there are very few politicians who actually call themselves women politicians, who call themselves that they are feminists. And especially when there are politicians, women politicians who propose something for the good of women, then they start with, I'm not a feminist, but still I would like to do this. It sounds really awful, but I'm positive that with the time people will become more and more aware about what feminism is and what we are working for. Anyway, there are very few women in politics in Romania, so maybe this is also one of the reasons that women politicians do not dare to stand for something that has to do with women, because politics is still seen in Romania as something that it's for men and made by men, and if you are there, then you have to be and behave like a man.
And you mentioned that the civil society is quite strong, or at least like supportive of like feminist politics, so grassroots politics. So I wanted to ask you if there are other groups in Romania which advocate feminism, whether using that term or by calling themselves women's group.
There are both actually, and but not many, of course. Maybe there are no more than 10 associations, and maybe maximum 5 associations who are active, and they really do many projects for and calling themselves as a feminist association.
Mm-hmm. Are there lesbian groups also, explicitly lesbian?
There are feminist lesbians activists. I'm not aware to be any group where all the members are lesbian. There are some organizations who are more working for working against sexual discrimination and for gay rights. Mm-hmm. But associations that are explicitly lesbian as a whole group, I'm not aware to mm-hmm. be.
We'll be right back.
imajo težave s prezasedenostjo in počasnostjo sodišč. Lani so politiki odločili, da bodo problem skušali rešiti z novim predlogom zakona o medijaciji, torej postopkom reševanja sporov, ki ga namesto sodnika vodi neutralna oseba oziroma medijator. Do tu vse lepo in prav. A med kazniva dejanja, ki jih je mogoče obravnavati s postopkom medijacije, so vključili tudi posilstvo. Ko je februarja 2013 predlog prišel v javnost, so številne feministične skupine in intelektualke nemudoma protestirale. Zakon bi, če bi bil sprejet, žrtve najprej prisilil k sodelovanju, kjer bi jih k svetovanju, kjer bi jih vladni uslužbenci skušali prepričati v koristnost medijacije. Če bi na njo pristale, bi se morale iz oči v oči soočiti z agresorjem in se izpostaviti novim travmam. Ker kar polovica Romun živi na podeželju, daleč od upravnih centrov, ki bi obvezno dolgo in drago potovanje na posvet marsikatero žensko odvrnilo od prijave, kar je zaradi stigmatizacije žrtev posilstva že tako prava redkost. Parlament je odločitev o predlogu odložil na začetek letošnjega leta. Irina Elisej je povedala, da se boji, da se to ni zgodilo zaradi protestov, temveč zato, ker so ga morali uskladiti z novim kazenskim zakonikom. Končno je romunski parlament sprejel novo različico zakona o medijaciji, po katerem ima napadena ženska pravico zavrniti tako posvet kot medijacijo. Če bi se snovalci zakona posvetovali s strokovnjakinjami, bi posilstvo seveda vrnili med kazniva dejanja, ki zahtevajo sodno obravnavo. A že to, da posvet o medijaciji po novem ni obvezen, daje upanje, da protesti vendarle niso naleteli na gluha ušesa. Politologinjo in feministično aktivistko Irino Elisej sem za konec vprašala, če se udeležuje množičnih protestov, ki se že dobro leto odvijajo v Bukarešti in drugih mestih v Romuniji. Na začetku je šlo za nasprotovanje odpiranju novih rudnikov, a protesti so kmalu prerasli v splošne protivladne demonstracije.
Yes, there were lots of feminists there, and including front members were there. The problem with this protest from a feminist perspective is that women and feminists in general are not so visible in this kind of protest, and their message has to follow the, let's say, the majority. There were some banners with feminist message or anti-homophobic message and so on, but those were very few. And I could observe also in the protests in 2012, there were also some big protests for a long time in Bucharest at that time, and personally I was much more present there. I could see that the message of feminists were not so much visible, unfortunately. Most of the people who were holding the speaker and the ones who were more, let's say, as informal leaders in the protest were men, and even in private, they were saying that they sympathize with feminist messages. Publicly, they would have very little feminist messages, and it took also a long while till they started to have at all some support for women who were present there. Another little bit, let's say, frustrating issue that I really observed is that, for example, for the protest against the mining and anti-government protest, you could see even 20,000 people going out and protesting in Bucharest. But a little bit, some weeks after this protest, we organized a protest on 25th of November against violence towards women. And there we had unfortunately a very little number of participants. Even violence against women is so present in the society, and every person in Romania knows at least one other person who was victim of domestic violence, but people still do not go out and protest against these things. So probably the issues that are concerning, or they are considered to be women's issues, there is not the use in the society to address them in publicly. There are still things that are considered to be needed to be treated at home and not in the public sphere, which I consider is totally wrong, but this is how things are.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it seems that at least like the groups you mentioned and the actions we spoke about have put the so-called private sphere into the public. So in the end, I would like to ask you, when you are sick and tired, let's say in Bucharest, of all the pressure, where do you hang out? Are there like spaces where you feel safe? Bars, clubs, women's spaces, for example?
There are some informal groups, and that created, let's say, some... They're not 100% so public, so it's... let's say everyone can come, but you have to get the information, where is this happening, and so on. And there are something like reading circles only for women or trans women, but something like pubs or bars or clubs as safe areas for women, unfortunately, we do not have that.
Za informacijo o obstoječih prostorih me je Irina Elisejn napotila na spletno stran feminističnega centra Sofijana Dedže, v branje pa priporoča tudi že omenjeno stran Asociacije Front Feminizem Romanja. Povezavo na stran najdete tudi na strani sektorja Ž. Prispevek je pripravila Teja H., po njenem izboru pa si poslušajmo še en komad glasbenice Marije Tanase.
Oh,
koncu oddaje naj vas povabim še na dva dogodka, ki se bosta primerila v naslednjem mesecu. Na Mirovnem inštitutu imajo v naslednjih dveh tednih na obisku predstavnico ženskega centra Nyamirambo iz Ruande, Marie Aime Umugeni. O ženskem centru smo v sektorju že poročale. Med drugim bo gostja sodelovala na predstavitvi razvojnih projektov, ki jih ima društvo Edirisa Slovenije in Mirovni inštitut skupaj s projektnimi partnerji v Ugandi in Ruandi, ki bo potekalo v Slovenskem etnografskem muzeju v Ljubljani v torek 15.4.2014 ob 17. uri. Na žalost se druga povabljena predstavnica ženskega centra ni mogla udeležiti obiska, ker ji je trdnjave Evropa zavrnila prošnjo za vizum. Naj povem v tem kontekstu še, da Ruanda obeležuje 20. obletnico genocida, v katerem je bilo ubitih več kot 800 tisoč ljudi. Že v tokratni oddaji, čeprav nas pred tem čaka še majska edicija Sektorja Ž, pa naj vas povabim na shod proti seksizmu Feminizem na ulice, ki se bo zgodil 23. maja 2014 ob 17. uri v parku Tabor. Za morebitna vprašanja se lahko obrnete na mail feminist.shod@gmail.com. V napovedi shoda na FB-ju izjavljajo, da seksizme prepoznavamo kot rdečo nit, ki spaja politične elite, ekonomsko izkoriščanje, akademsko okolje, medijski prostor, cerkev, ki hinavsko prispevajo k retradicionalizaciji položaja žensk in repatriarhalizaciji družbe. Seksizmi služijo utrjevanju samoumevno podrejenega, nevidnega, razvrednotenega položaja žensk, da bi nam lažje vladali in upravljali z našimi telesi. Tako so prostori, v katerih se gibljamo, polni zatiranja, zanikanja, poniževanja in nasilja, ki govorijo o tem, da nismo dobrodošle. Posebno še, kadar izstopimo iz predpisanih, poslušnih, ukročenih, prijaznih vlog in zauzemamo aktivne, uporne, nesramne, neprijetne in glasne drže. Vabimo vas torej na shod proti seksizmu 23. maja 2014 ob 17. uri v parku Tabor. Toliko za danes iz feminističnih logov. Oddajo sta vsebinsko pripravili Teja Oblak in Teja Hvala. Tehnično jo je obdelal Makis, z vami pa sem bila v etru Ida H. V boj proti seksizmu.
Neurejena vida je posodo prala.
Zraven nekaj krožnikov razbila.
Za volanom je zaspala.
Saj službo zgubila.
Šef te je nagnal.
Ker nosečniški trebuh je zaznal.
Da je mera polna.
Od domače te peške je že bolna.
Sama si je trapa kriva.
Če tudi posilevalcu zanimiva.
Sektor Ž. Oddaja o nesposobnih ženskah. To soboto opoldne.